He's good, isn't he? I said 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 he's good, isn't he? Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb. Stand to your feet all across this room. Somebody tell me what time it is. 10:54, it means I got 3 hours to preach. Amen. Buckle your seatbelt. Hang on. Here we go. I'm only teasing with you. I don't plan on holding you long this morning, but I do ask you to be very attentive to the Word of God. Because I believe I don't just have a sermon for you today, but I have a word from God. It's going to begin with me. And then it's going to speak to every one of us in this room. Amen. John chapter 5, verse 1 through 6. New Living Translation says this. Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holidays. Inside the city near the Sheep Gate was the Pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, laid on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" When Jesus saw him and knew that he had been ill for a long time, been afflicted for a long time, had adversity in his life for a long time, Jesus said, "Would you like to get well?" Now, I'm not trying to transform or change the word of God, but I want to just say it like this. You can almost hear Jesus saying, "Do you want to be free? Do you want to be complete? Do you want things to change once and for all? Do you really want things to be different?" Let's go back. Do you want to be free? From that, I want to share with you this morning on this thought. How bad do you want to be free? Father, I thank you for the worship that has gone up in this room today. I thank you, Father, for your presence that has come down and is dwelling with us in this moment. I thank you, God, for every manifestation of love you have sent among your people. And Lord, the love that is resting on us even in this moment. God, all throughout this house, there are people who have such a longing to be free from whatever adversities are going on in their life. Lord, they have such a longing to be released from things that have held them so tightly. But for some reason, God, they have not been able to break loose. They've not been able to get free. But I'm asking you this day, Father, that every person in this room and every person who hears us online who wants it bad enough, God, that they will be freed this day. That they will be complete this day. And that their life will forever be changed this day. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you again for being in the house of God with us today. How bad do you want to be free? What a question to ask But in the hour where we're living in now, it's a very important question. Because more people are faced, listen, mankind has faced adversity ever since sin came into the garden. But man is facing adversity now more so than he or she has ever faced adversity. Man has been felt more bondage now than he or she has ever felt. And the reason for that are the attacks that the enemy brings upon our life. And I've said it countless times from this pulpit, but I will say it once more. Jesus Christ is about to return in the clouds of glory. And with that being said, the devil is loosing or releasing every demonic power of hell in this late hour. He's holding nothing back. He's letting out all the stops. But what the enemy does not realize is that at the same time God is releasing his Holy Spirit without measure. He is releasing his Holy Spirit in such a way you can't measure it, you can't figure it out, but it's beyond what we fathom. Why? To help us to withstand in this late hour and be victorious in the midst of every adversity. But the one thing you have to settle in your mind and you have to settle in your spirit and you have to settle in your heart before you ever get there is this. Do you want to be free? Are you happy where you are? Now I'm going to get real here for just a minute. There are some people who are sick in their bodies and they're happy to be there. They really don't want to be free from it. There are some people that are bound in certain adversities in their life and they're happy to be there. They really don't want to be free from it. Some people are bound by addictions in their life and they're happy to be there. They really don't want to be free from it. So you have to make up your mind and you have to make a choice. Do you want to be free? So the question is again, how bad do you want to be free? Now let me go back to this passage. It's a familiar story. We've used it multiple times throughout the history of the church. But today we're going to look at it from a little bit different perspective. This man was in this position, the Bible said, he'd been there for 38 years. 38 years he was watching other people get healed. 38 years he was watching other people get whole. 38 years he saw other people getting free from what was going on in their life. And every time he must have thought it was his turn, but yet somebody else would get in before he did. Every time he must have felt like, well, today is going to be my day. This is going to be my opportunity. I'm not going to miss it now. And then all of a sudden, somebody gets in before him. He can't even move. And can I tell you this? He endured 38 years frozen in a moment. Think about it. When the angel came down and stirred up the moving of the water, all it took was the first one in one moment of time. And for 38 years, this man is stuck in a moment. In a moment of time that he cannot seem to get past. Well, let me ask you, how would you react in a moment like that? How would you react to something like that? And let me just say it this way. Have you ever prayed for something that someone else got? I've been there. Have you ever prayed for something and you watch somebody else get what you prayed for? And you probably ask yourself, well, why didn't it happen for me? Why did they get that? Why did this take place? Listen, someone else got the promotion you prayed for and they didn't even ask for it. But you did. You've been serving the Lord. You're faithful. You're taking care of that apartment you've been living in for a long time. And somebody else got approved for a mortgage instead of you. You've had your car for years. You struggle with the gas tank ministry. Amen. You ever been there? While you were sitting in that car and you're still grateful for what God gave you and you're still grateful that you still got four tires to roll around on, but you've been believing for an upgrade and all of a sudden somebody else gets a brand new car instead of you and you're still thinking about gas tank ministry. Think about it for a moment. Have you ever been in those moments or those places in your life? Well, if you have, you can relate to this man. He's watched for 38 years while other people got healed. And can I tell you, that will mess with your mind. Can I tell you, that will mess with your head sometimes. When it happens for everybody else, and you prayed, you fasted, you sought the Lord, you called on God, you've done this, you've done that, you've done the other, but it seemed like it happened for somebody else first. Let me just remind you of something. With God, there's a thing called timing. Let me remind you of something. With God, there's a thing called timing, and God's time clock does not work like our time clock, and God's not on the same timetable we are, but when God, the timing comes for God's plan to take place, it will happen. And let me just tell you, just because you didn't get that job now doesn't mean you're not going to get a better something later. Just because you didn't get that new car now doesn't mean God doesn't have something laid in store for you down the road. You just have to keep your focus. But let me tell you, when it seems like you've been looked over time and time again, it will mess with you sometimes. What do you do when you thought it was your turn, but it seemed like it wasn't your turn? Let me ask you, can you still worship God? When it seemed like it's happening for everybody else, but it's not happening for you and it hadn't happened in your life yet, can you still worship God in moments like that? Can you still go and give God praise? Listen, is your relationship with God contingent upon what's happening with you right now? Listen, if your relationship with God is contingent upon what's happening with you, you're not going to get very far with God. Because let me tell you, the devil will make sure there are adversities in your life. The devil will make sure there's resistance in your life. And if you're always focused on your problem and on your circumstance and what's going on with you, and that is contingent upon what happens with God, is contingent upon that, you're not going to get very far with God. But when you get to the place that you make up your mind that you're going to focus on God and you're going to get your mind off what's going on around you and get your mind off your circumstance and get focused on God, then things will change. Listen, it's easy to worship at the beginning of a thing. It's easy to worship at the end of a thing. But it's not too easy to worship in the middle of a thing. Somebody listen to this preacher this morning. I told you I didn't come here with a sermon. I came here with a word from God for us today. It's easy to worship at the beginning of something. It's easy to worship at the end when it's over. But it's not so easy, Greg, to worship in the middle of a thing when you're going through adversity and you're going through trouble and you're going through problems and you're going through difficulties in your life. Amen? But let me tell you, what you do in the middle will determine what God will do with you. What you do in the middle will determine how God works in your life, how God moves on your behalf, and the miracles that take place inside of you. Listen, can anybody in this house worship Him in the middle? Some of you listen to me right now. Some of you listen to me online. You're in the middle right now. And you feel like everything under the sun but worshiping God. You feel like everything but giving God the praise He deserves. But let me just stop and tell you, remember how you felt in the beginning? If you hold on to that while you're in the middle, when you get to the end, your praise is going to be even greater. Your worship's going to be even greater. Why? Because of what God brought you through and how God brought you through it. But let me remind you of this. If you hold on to God, He will bring you through it. I'll give Him a hand in here. He will bring you through it. What brings breakthrough is aggressive worship. I love to watch this worship team. I love to watch Leslie when she's shaking that hair every which way. I love to watch Lauren and them over there when they're jumping up and down. I love it. You know why? Because there's something on the inside of them that's coming on the outside of them, and the outside of them don't exactly know how to express it, but just let go and let God, and it come. But can I tell you, it's called aggressive worship. It's called when you just really let everything that's inside of you, you start letting it rolling out of you, and the expressions that start coming forth in your body. It's called aggressive worship. Well, let me tell you, breakthrough comes when we aggressively worship God. We assume that because, listen, we assume that because society and culture has changed, perhaps God has changed. We assume automatically that because society has changed and culture has changed and the things around us have changed, that God has not changed. But God has changed. But let me remind you of something. The Bible tells us that if you don't worship God, if you don't praise God, the rocks will cry out unto God. The rocks will call out unto God. I got news for you. God has not changed. So if you want breakthrough in your life, get aggressive in your worship and lift up the name of Jesus, and He will break through for you. Listen, God wants us to come out from our comfortable place and say, God, I'm coming after you with my whole heart. God wants us to come out of our comfortable place and say, Lord, I'm coming after you. Let's go back to the question. How bad do you want to be free? What is a man in the condition of this man who's been there for 38 years? What does a man like him think about? What kind of thoughts goes through this man's mind? What is he weighing in on? Can I just give you this? I can hear him saying, here I am stuck, and so got his breakthrough, but I didn't get mine. And let me tell you, after 38 years, you probably might doubt a little bit. But I'm going to get a little closer to us for a minute. There's a lot of people been waiting a lot less time than that and already doubting God. They hadn't been waiting 38 years. They've only been waiting a short period of time. But because God has not moved for them yet, they're walking in doubt and they're walking in fear. But can I say this to you? Can you be as passionate and committed to God before your answer comes? In the waiting period, in the middle somewhere, can you be as passionate and committed to God in a moment like that? God is looking for somebody who will say, Lord, if you never do it, I'm still going to worship you. God, if you never do it in my life, I'm still going to worship you. God, if you never do another thing for me, I'm still going to worship you. God, if it never happens, I'm going to worship you. Put your hand together and worship it. Get up on your feet and give him a worship praise for a minute. Give him a worship praise for a minute. God, if it never happens, I'm still going to worship. God, if it never takes place, I'm still going to praise. Why? Because God, you are worthy. You may say, well, even though I'm stuck, you're not. Listen. Even though you're stuck where you are, God's not keeping you from your miracle. He's developing your character. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? Even though you're stuck where you are, God's not keeping your miracle. God's not keeping your answer. God's not withholding anything from you. He's developing your character. Because in the waiting period, you learn to trust in God more. In the waiting period, you learn to believe, hold on to him more. In the waiting period, some tremendous things can happen in you. But you have to hear God asking this question. I know how bad you want it, but do you want me more? Think about that. I know how bad you want it, but do you want me more? Let me just stop and ask you something. Do you need to be healed today? If you need to be healed, what do you want more, your healing or God? You need a financial breakthrough in your life today? What do you want more, the financial breakthrough or God? You need God to do something real in your life today? Do you want that more or do you want God? I got news for you. If you'll get the right, get it in proper perspective in your life, and you want God more than anything else, He already knows what you need. He already knows what you're praying for. But if you go after God with all your heart, He'll heal your body. He'll bless your finances. He'll do good things in your life. He'll do more than you ever asked or you ever dreamed. But you got to get the proper perspective. You got to get things in order. You can hear God saying, if I freed you from the symptom now, you'd never get free from the root. Ooh. You know why sometimes God doesn't do things immediately when we ask? Because there's still a root problem down here. It's got to be dealt with first. And if God cures the symptom and it doesn't get down to the root of the matter and doesn't get down to where the root of things are going on, nothing's really going to change. Oh, the symptom might look better and the symptom might be better for the moment in time in your life, but if the root's still down there and it's still eating away, guess what? The symptom's going to come back. Oh, God, help me this morning. The symptom's going to come back. But hear Him saying, if I freed you from the symptom now, you'd never get free from the root. But I'm interested in the root of your problem so I can take care of it once and for all. Let me tell you something about your problem that maybe you never thought about before. Listen to me. Your problem is the problem behind the problem. You ever heard that one before? Your problem is the problem behind the problem. Getting free from symptoms is cosmetic Christianity. Ooh, I'm messing some people up today. Getting free from your symptoms is cosmetic Christianity. People look good on the outside, but they're still broken on the inside. A lot of people are looking good on the outside, but there's still some things on the inside they need to have fixed. Let me just tell you, you may fool everybody on the outside. You may make everybody around you think everything's great, grand, and wonderful, and everything's just right in your life. But there may be some things on the inside of you that are still broken that need to be fixed, and only God knows it. Only God sees it. You see, sometimes as human beings, we're good at hiding things from people. We're good at putting on these religious facades. We're good at putting on this face that says everything's okay, and we're wonderful, and everything's great in our life. But deep down inside of us, there's some broken issues. Deep down inside of us, there's some deep-rooted things. Deep down inside of us, there's some things that have not been corrected yet, and we need to let God get a hold of those things in our life. Let me say it again. Getting free from symptoms is cosmetic Christianity, and we may look right on the outside, but we're still broken on the inside. But hear Jesus saying today, do you want to get well? Hear Jesus saying today, how bad do you want to be free? Hear Jesus saying, do you want to be free? I'm going to go back to it for a minute. Some people don't want to be free. They wouldn't tell you that. They wouldn't say that. But they don't want to be free. They like where they are. They like the position they're in, even though they're miserable. Even though they're in misery, even though things are going adverse in their life, everywhere they turn, something seems to be going wrong. And they know why it's going wrong. But they're happy where they are. I said it earlier. Some people are sick in their body, and they're happy to be sick. They don't want to be free. Some people are bound by addictions in their life. They're happy to be there. They don't want to be free. We have to make up our mind that we want to be free from where we are. We have to make up our mind that we want to get out from where we are. Let me take you a little further. Hear Jesus saying, do you want to get well? Do you want to be free? When you stir something. Just before church, I got me a little bit of coffee. And I put me some creamer in there, some sugar in there. Got me a little sugar. I started stirring it. It started going in a circular motion. Listen. When you stir something, you stir in a direction or you stir a cycle. You stir in a direction or a cycle. Listen to me. Too many Christians are living a cyclical life. What does that mean? Repenting for sin from 16 years ago when God's already forgiven you for it. Repenting for things you did 20 years ago when God has already forgiven you for them. Listen, you got saved, but the enemy keeps you in a posture of guilt. Anybody ever been there? Let's get real. How many has been walking there lately? Two hands showed up. Ought to be about 75% or 80% in the house. God saved you. God forgave you. God released you. But the enemy keeps you continually in a spirit of guilt in your life. He holds you back by what you did in the past when God said, I've already released you. God is saying, my son already paid for this. Do you want to get well? Let me stop and tell you, the only way you can get free from that is you got to change your mindset and understand and realize that when God saved you and he forgave you, he released you, and you are not bound by it no more. You may fall into something else later. You may do something else later and go back and repent before God before it, but you never have to repent for those things that you've already repented for, because they were put under the blood of Jesus Christ, and the Bible said that God no longer remembers them in your life. They've been cast in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you again. And can I just say this while I'm here? God does not remember your past sin. He chooses not to. And the only reason you do, the devil won't let you forget it. So who are you going to believe? Whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the fact that God said you're free? That God said you're saved? Are you going to believe the fact that the devil said, you messed up? Let me move on. When you stir something, you stir in a direction or a cycle. Cycles need to be broken in the lives of many people. There's many of us in this room who are going through cycles in our life, whether it be physically, whether it be spiritually, wherever it may be, we're going through cycles. And there's cycles that need to be broken off of many of us in this house and many listening to me online. I'm going to say something here, and I don't want to lose nobody. The purpose of a cycle is to remove impurities so the body can be clean. Amen? The Bible tells us about a woman with an issue of blood that was stuck in a cycle. She could not get beyond that cycle. So what did she do? She went to the one who could heal and could deliver her body. Cycles will keep you in a posture of religious expression without freedom. Let me say that one more time. Cycles will keep you in a posture of religious expression without freedom. We don't need religion. We need Jesus. We don't need religion. We need freedom and salvation. We don't need religion. We need freedom in the grace and the mercy of God. In your mind, the cycle is completed because you come to church. You did what you intended to do. But it's about how God wants to interact with you. And let me just give you something. When you get intimate with the Word of God, when you get intimate with His Word, and you let His Word get deep down inside of you, God will speak to you. And when God speaks to you, He will bring freedom in your life. I want somebody to hear me. God wants to talk to you one-on-one. God talks to us in a setting like this, where He'll speak to a congregation, He'll speak to a group of people, but God sent me by to tell everyone in this room, God wants to talk to you one-on-one. God wants to get down to the place where it's just you and Him and nobody else, because you may be dealing with some things in your life that somebody else is not. You may be going through things that nobody else knows about, but God knows everything about you. And I want to tell you, God wants to bring those cycles of religion out of your life. God wants to bring those cycles of adversity out of your life. He wants to speak to you through His Word and through His Spirit, speak one-on-one in your life that will bring freedom to you spiritually and physically. The movies always show Jesus as a tender, gentle man. You ever notice that? You watch the movies, you always see Jesus as a tender, gentle man. But in this passage, it almost sounds like Jesus is frustrated. It almost sounds like Jesus is aggravated. Why? He knew this man had been in this condition for a long time. But He asked him the question, hey, do you want to get better? Are you happy where you are? Do you like this place you're in? Does it do something for you? Or do you want to get well? You can hear Jesus asking, do you want it? And I'm asking you today, do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want it? If you want it, it's time to do something about it. God help me right here. Listen, if you knew your miracle was 1 foot away from you, would you just sit there or would you say, I've been here long enough? I want everybody in this house to look right straight at me. Stare a hole in me just a minute. If you knew your miracle was 1 foot away from you, would you just sit there or would you get after it? If you knew your miracle was 1 foot away from you, would you sit there or would you say, I've been here long enough? I don't think there's anybody in this room that could just sit there if you saw it in front of you. You'd go through hell and high water to get past that 1 foot. Listen, Mike, I believe this would be the words of us all. When that water stirs, I dare you to get in my way. When that water moves, I dare you to step in front of me. When that water moves, I dare you to try to hinder me from getting there. But can I say this? Sometimes religion will make you do things, and it's really false humility. What are you talking about? Sometimes we say, see, like this man, he'd been at the pool, and I've often said this many times throughout my ministry. I think if I'd have been him, I'd have been sitting there with 1 foot in the water all the time. I think I'd have been sitting there 1 foot. My foot would have probably stayed wrinkled all the time because of the water. But too often we let things get in our way. We think, well, I don't want to be there right now. But when the time comes, I want to be there. Let me say this again. Sometimes religion will make you do things, and it's really false humility. Sometimes we make statements like this. Lord, if it's your will, you can heal me. How many times have we said that? Lord, if it's your will, you can heal me. I got news for you. It is his will. That's not my word. That's his word. It is his will to heal you. The word of God backs it up. So we need to stop saying things. Well, Lord, if it's your will, heal me. It's his will. We need to pray that God would heal and that God would do the miraculous. You know how I know it? He may not heal you here. Sometimes we pray about things and it never seems to happen in this life. But if you're in Christ Jesus, when you breathe your last breath, guess what? You just got healed. Everything about your life changed. So I want you to understand, yes, he wants to heal you. Yes, he wants to deliver you. But listen to this. It's not humility that won't admit to our need. It's pride that won't admit to our need. It's pride that gets in our way. And when we let pride get in our way of receiving from God, when we let pride get in our way from getting our miracle, then we don't want it bad enough. When we let pride get in our way and we let other things stand in our way, we don't want it bad enough. But you can hear God saying, you think you can approach me with religion? Listen to Psalm 51, 16, 17, the Message Bible. He said, going through the motions does not please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. I learned God worship when my pride was shattered. You know what I like about that part of that verse? I learned how to worship God when my pride got out of the way. I learned how to worship God when my pride was brought down. I learned how to worship God when I came into a place of humility. He went on to say, heart-shattered lives, ready for love, don't for a moment escape God's notice. God is saying unto us, until that thing breaks your heart, you will never get free from it. Somebody hear that statement again. Until that thing breaks your heart, you will never get free from it. This man offered up excuses. Listen to me. This man offered up excuses. Jesus said, do you want to be healed? But Jesus, every time I tried to get in there, son, Jesus didn't ask him that. Jesus said, do you want to be healed? He offered up excuse. But then Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. But listen, that bed probably had a funky odor to it. Probably didn't smell too good. He'd been laying there 38 years. And if he's paralyzed, he probably couldn't get bathed too well. I'm going to say here something going to mess some people up. Religious people don't want your dirt. I didn't say godly people. I didn't say God's people. You hear that? Religious people don't want your dirt. But Jesus said, I'll free you from your dirt. Jesus said, I'll free you from your dirt. But I like this. But I want you to carry it because I want people to know what I set you free from. Listen, God wants us to tell the truth about where we have come from. God wants us to tell the truth about what's happened in our life. It didn't happen overnight. I had to have some prayer warriors around me. It didn't just happen in a moment, but I'm free. How bad do you want to be free? I got much more I want to say. Come on, worship team. But I feel like I need to bring it to a close right here. When you want to get free bad enough, you'll give God an uncomfortable praise, an uncharacterized pursuit, and an uncommon passion. You have to say to yourself, I'm going to praise God no matter how uncomfortable I may get. When you want it bad enough, you'll engage in an uncharacteristic pursuit of God, which means you'll pursue God like you've never pursued God in your life. You'll go after Him with everything in you. I'm just hitting missing right here some things I wanted to say to you, but don't you listen to this. We can get too casual when it comes to God. Hear this, preacher. We can get too casual when it comes to God. God is not casual. I said, we can get too casual when it comes to God, but God is not casual. What are you saying, Pastor? Listen, He is utterly holy. He is awesome. He is nothing to be trifled with. He's holy. He's awesome. He's God. But this culture that we live in has become so casual toward God. I hope you're listening to me. This culture that we live in has become so casual toward God. But this casual culture needs to come to an extinction. We are not to be casual when it concerns the Lord. I said, we are not to be casual when it concerns the Lord. We got to get back to the passion that we had when we first got saved. Got to get back to the passion that drove us, that pushed us to go after God with everything inside of us. Listen to me. The last thing you have to offer God is an uncommon passion. God is looking for somebody that will be passionate, as passionate for Him as they are other people and other things in their life. God's looking for people that will be as passionate about Him as they are other things in their life. God don't want to hold second place in your life. But how often are we more passionate about other things than we are God? You say, well, Pastor, you'd never say that. But our actions prove that. Because we put God back on the back burner and we never really approach Him or go after Him or need Him until we really need Him in our life. You got to prove to God that you want Him more than anything else. I said, you got to prove to God you want Him more than you want anything else in your life. Stand to your feet. I want to give you this in closing. Like I told you, I didn't give you everything I had down. But I had to obey the Lord. He said, stop here and finish. I want to go back to this man who'd been by the pool for 38 years for just a moment. I want you to listen to it close. It's very important. I never really thought about it this way until preparing this message, and I want you to hear me. God's looking for us to say, I love you and I trust you more than any, for everything I need in my life. And Lord, if it don't come to me, then I don't need it. I trust you. Jesus told this man, listen, you remember? I didn't read it in the passage earlier, but a little bit further down, verse 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Here's something we never think about in this passage. Jesus healed him. He's free and he's whole. But Jesus said, don't sin no more, lest something worse than what you already had come upon your life. Jesus healed the symptom, but then he came back to the root. God help me right here. If you hadn't heard anything else I've said this morning, stare a hole through me, listen to me. Jesus healed the symptom, but then he came back to the root. If Jesus had been religious, he would have called him a sinner first, but that wasn't what he did. Jesus covered him with his grace first. Jesus covered him with his mercy first. Jesus showed his goodness first. Then he came back and said, let me tell you how you really got stuck in the first place. Let me tell you what really happened in your life in the first place. I want to ask you again. How bad do you want it? Jesus said, I healed you. But he said, don't sin no more. So many people think the man stuck for 38 years, his paralysis was his problem, but sin was the problem. Now let me say this. Does that mean because I'm sick in my body I've sinned somewhere? No, I didn't say that. I'll make that clear. Pastor, because I'm sick or I'm going through some kind of affliction in my body, does that mean I've sinned? No, I did not say that. But what Jesus was saying, you asked for healing. I gave you what you asked for. But you had never been saved. You asked for healing, and I gave you what you asked for. I gave you what you longed for. I gave you what you thought you needed in the moment. But Jesus said, let's go back. You've never dealt with the real issue in your life. The real issue is you need to be saved. Whew. I want to tell somebody, and I'm done. We thought his problem was paralysis, but his problem was sin. God healed him. God delivered him. But he needed forgiveness. I'm talking directly to somebody in this room and somebody online. You may have dealt with the surface issues in your life, but God said it's time to dig down to the root and get free. You may have dealt with the surface issues in your life. God said it's time to dig down to the root and get free. I'm not going to beg. I'm not going to plead this morning. I'm just going to simply ask you. I'm not giving any specifics. But you know who you are. No specifics. But I want every person in this room. I'm going to ask you, how bad do you want to be free? I don't care what it is. It might be sickness. It might be sin. It might be bondage. It might be addiction. It might be any manner of thing. But I'm going to ask you, how bad do you want to be free? I'm asking every person in this room who is ready to be free to get out of your seat, come to the front of this room quickly. Hurry. Hurry. I don't care what it is. I'm not talking to sinners. I'm not talking to saints. I'm talking to everybody in the house. I want every person in this room who is ready to be free, step from your seat and move to the front of this house. Hurry. I realize and I know I may not be talking to everybody in this room, and I get that. But I'm going to speak to somebody. Thank God we got an altar full of people, but I'm going to say this to somebody. You are never going to get free till you make up your mind you want to be free. You're never going to be delivered till you make up your mind you want to be delivered. And nobody can make that choice for you. Nobody can make that decision for you. I'm going to say this again. I'm not talking to lost people. I'm not talking to Christians. I'm talking to everybody. Because there's some godly people. Listen to me. There's some godly people in this room. Listen to me right now. You've been saved. You've been sanctified. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit. But there's some things in your life right now you need to be free from. I'm talking to some people in this room right now that is on your way to heaven. If Jesus comes back right now, you're going. But there's some things in your life you need to be free from. Because you're not going to be able to get where you really need to be while you're on this earth till you get free. I said, you're not going to be able to get really where you need to be on this earth till you get free. So I'm going to ask you one more time. Is there anybody else in this house? This is not a doom and gloom word or message, but it's just like we're doing tonight, Leslie. It's a message of hope. If you want to be free, there's nothing can stop you. There's nothing can stop you. But you got to make up your mind. Those of you listening to me online, if you want to be free, you got to make up your mind. And all you have to do is call on Jesus right where you are, and he'll meet you where you are. And he'll break every chain of bondage off of your life. And he'll make you free once and for all. But you got to want to be free. Nobody can do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. Church, I want you to gather in behind these with me. Come on. Those of you that will help me pray, I want you to gather in behind these with me. There's freedom in this room. There's peace in this room. There's mercy in this room. There's hope in this room.